Paul had more than the experience in Damascus. Paul was so deeply involved, so deeply committed, that he knew of the Christ teaching even before the revelation had been sent into orbit by the Christ and received by John. He didn't have to wait to read in it that the Christ was now walking in the kingdom of heaven in the form of Jesus. In fact, by now, the form of Jesus had disappeared. There was only Christ, infinite, in heaven, with the truth for mankind. But Paul, if you remember, announced it very early. He spoke to his countrymen, he stood up and he said, I have seen him, this man who is alive and was dead, to all eye appearances. I believe. My entire study of truth and of God is centered on this man. And in Romans, he made the following statement, which we all know, but it's good to hear it again and see why he said it. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depths, nor any creature shall be able to separate me. And he didn't say me, he said us, to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul was so totally convinced that he was going to live forever. He was totally convinced that his students who had attained the Christhood within themselves would also live forever. There was no doubt about it in Paul's mind. So if anyone had said to Paul, are you going to live forever? It was a foregone conclusion. That's what he was teaching. I will live forever because of Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ taught me, and now Christ is within me. I am the living Christ, and you can be the living Christ. And then we look back on Jesus Christ, and he was teaching men that. His entire mission on the earth was to teach each man that he is the Christ, that he can live forever. So tonight's question, or rather it was not a question, it was a statement. Will I live forever? Well, I'd be rather short-sighted if I couldn't manage it, because we have the teaching. We all know somewhat what it means. And its purpose is to teach us that we shall live forever if we obey the Christ teaching. When we accept it, we go further than say, I accept the teaching. I accept all the principles. But I must accept the basic principle that each of us is the Christ. And I don't know any better principles to accept than that simple statement, "Thou art the Christ." Now, he accepted it, Paul. He felt it was the only thing he could do. He wanted to live forever, and it was necessary for Paul to get to know what Christ was saying, to develop his capacity to live as Christ. He developed many things, including the healing power. And then he taught it. If you follow Paul way beyond the Romans and the Acts, you see he led quite an active life. Did a lot of things we wouldn't dream of doing unless we were anchored in Christ. The human body is a trap. We're all suffering from that trap because when we are in this human sense of body, the world is outside. But when the human body has been overcome, the world outside is nowhere to be seen. We live in a different kingdom than the kingdom of the world. And Paul had discovered that. Paul was devoting his entire visible life to educating his students that there's only one way to live, and you've got to go to the next realm. You've got to learn how to do it. You need the Christ at your side and then within you, showing you the way, listening. And each one travels the same course in a different way. There are people in this room tonight who are making the journey. They've embarked on it years back. And the only way that they can do it is by themselves. Nobody can help them. Nobody can take them across a certain area. They've got to build the consciousness that the Christ is the self, and with that consciousness they've got to progress to a point of transformation. They've got to realize that Christ, give birth to the Christ, and emerge finally as the Christ. That's the way. They overcome every trap because the Christ is their vision, the Christ is their faculties, the Christ who has already traveled that particular route. To the Christ, it's ABC. But each of us has to go with the Christ until we are the Christ. We are absorbed into the Christhood. So life becomes a simple drive in a certain direction, and it's all inner. The inner drive takes you to the outer universe, to the limits of, and beyond the limits. Each of us has reached a certain feeling about the Christ message. I presume that it's about 99% agreed that the Christ message is what takes you there, but you have to do the work. And now that we are all doing the work, for many years, some sharing the experiences. There is a good belief in this world today that the 21st century will be the unveiling of many new activities, much more pressure released in that direction. And we're looking forward to the future, whereas we should know that everything that is going on in the future is really happening in the present, just underground, so you don't see it. We are in the middle of a great impetus from various levels, and they are resulting in a very strong overturning of material consciousness. People who yesterday were thinking one way are beginning to loosen up. You find that your friends were once sort of rigid, but then they're knocked out of that somehow, and someone says to you, well, I've got this, can you help me? Whereas they used to run to the doctor first. And other things happen where people are asking for help. They're knowing that down the street, down the road, this woman, she seems to get spiritual help from somewhere. I don't know what that means, but she gets spiritual help, and I think I'm going to ask her what to do about some things and maybe ask her for a recommendation. That happens all the time. People are spreading out. People are finding that they can't trust the material help, because no matter what happens, the problem seems to repeat itself. The problems that they once had are overcome, some materially, but then there's the problem again, in a different form. And finally they get to the point where, I want to know how to handle this problem so that it's not there when I'm through. It's off the slate. So spiritual living is slowly making an entree into homes that never thought of it before. You see, we're all moving to the fifth world. It's just a matter of when. I'd like each one here to be an ambassador so that we carry with us an inner conviction that no one has seen God, but I personally know where God is. I see the universal nature of God. I feel the universal spirit. I feel the power of it, the presence of it, the wisdom of it, the eternity of it. And I'd like you to be an ambassador so that whoever is doubtful can come to you and find some ray of light that will open them to a phase of truth they have never learned. They can find someone who walks just as other people walk, but there's a certain something in that someone which tells them that there is an extra bit of wisdom to be had in that level, in that person. We are all ready to move out that way. I think we're ready to abandon the belief that I am subject to problems. Every now and then, a problem hits us. And And then we still have the worry. We still have the fear. We still have the anxiety. When you realize that that is your disbelief in God, you're saying, I don't know if there's a God. Look at this. You don't realize you're saying it. You say, well, I don't feel good, and I'm worried about it. But you wouldn't be worried if you knew that God was present, and God is all perfection, and that the only thing is happening to you is that you're cut off from God. You and God are two instead of one. There should be a degree of confidence now that at this point of my life I can't afford to waver any longer. I've got to get where the certainty of God is my complete and total belief. A conviction that is more than a conviction, that I and God somehow are in one situation together. It's not me going to God. We're past that. It's that somehow God and I are truly one. There's not God and me. There's just God, and I am at first reluctant to say more than God, but soon it will reach the point where you realize that God is the presence right where I am, and that's all you can see here is God. But there's God over there too, and it's the same God. We got to get to the point now where we're able to walk in the presence of God knowingly, without this anxiety, without this fear, without this wavering, without this duplication, with a deep certainty, like Paul had. He was certain that nothing in the world could separate him from the love of God, because he knew that Jesus Christ was the total embodiment of God, just as Paul Christ is the embodiment of God. And each one of us, he would say, is the same embodiment. Do you see how you're losing and must learn to lose your human identity? That's all that stands between you and the full essence of the Godhead, the belief that there's God and me, or that I am going to God for this and that. You're not. In the healing work, we've always noticed that, where there's a separation between the practitioner and God, there's no healing. Now, I want you tonight to see that death is impossible whether you want to die or not. You just can't. The form can die, but when the form dies, that's not death. The light within never goes out. There must come an experience that tells you that. I can say that, but you have to experience it. Not only is it a temporary experience, as a one-time experience, but it's something that eventually becomes part of your being, and then it becomes your being. The light never goes out. It doesn't matter if you pass out of the picture in a physical way. It takes a certain degree of certainty that no matter what happens to me, I'm alive. A If you look around, you don't see much of it. But again, you don't see much Christ awareness around either. Now let's get to the point where we can feel Christ within and feel that whenever and whatever happens to me, neither the good nor the bad, nor whatever time brings, neither angels nor any disturbance in the world, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Certainly, you're not any different than Paul. He was a man. But he had these experiences. The experiences didn't put him in a different position where he could feel that I have learned that I have the Christ but no one else. He discovered the omnipresent Christ. And if you had discovered the omnipresent Christ, you wouldn't feel that it, I have it, no one else. You'd just say, I saw the Christ, I felt the Christ, and the Christ is everywhere, and I finally realize it. So we have Jesus finding it out, and then Paul finding it out, and then the disciples finding it out. And you'd say, what do we have to do? Be hit on the head to find it out? You just realize that it's the way things are. And then if you feel that it's important to test it out, by all means do. And how would you test where the Christ is? I guess there are limitless numbers of ways to find out if Christ is always present or not. But the only way that works, even though there are limitless numbers of ways, is you first going into your Christhood. You cannot make the proper test as a human being. So go into your closet, into the deep silence of my peace. Be still and let your soul meditation discover for you the presence that changes life. While you're meditating, you may not realize that you're meditating from the position of being in a body. You may not realize that there is a certain weight to the body, a certain character to the body. All of these things leave an impression on your psyche, your senses. But when you are aware that This body is a mirage. It's just a delayed reaction before I lose it. You will see that something happens in the realization that you don't have a body sitting in a chair, that there are no bodies in this room. There are the appearance of bodies. In the Bible, when Judas was cast out, there was a meaning there. Of course, it wasn't labeled. Nobody said, this means that mortality is cast out. So you saw Judas leaving. But it was the departure of mortality from the consciousness of man, symbolized by that. It would have been impossible to be so alert that we were caught that and read it and said, mortality has been cast out. 2,000 years later, we're still catching on. But mortality was cast out of the disciples' consciousness. That is when mortality vanished from consciousness. That is when the disciples began to realize this is not my body. We are going into an invisible realm, and we just can't take any physical objects with us. When Paul discovered that Jesus could live in this world and walk in this world and not be killed, nothing could kill him. When Paul realized that was the truth, he realized that Jesus was the Christ. the teaching was unexpressed. Jesus could not say, see, I can walk through the world and I can't be killed. He had to do it. The demonstration was a teaching. And when it was made, after many, many clues that it would be made, when his hour had come, and now is, he made it clear that he was in time as a physical human being in our eyes, but he was now out of time as the Christ. That there is no Christ in time. That Christ is always out of time. And Paul had learned that Jesus had gone out of time, and it was there that the power of Christ came from. And that's where Paul got his power. You remember Paul was quite a healer. His power came from out of time. And the assurance he had that he could not be separated from Christ was because he knew that he had the capacity to move out of time, where there is no separation in Christ. Now, I am not suggesting that we can all walk out of time quickly, but we had that exercise this morning, and it's very necessary that we learn to be out of time, and if possible, a portion of every day. If you can listen to that tape again to discover how it was done, or if you know how, you must practice the reality of no time. Your life as a human being is not in time. There is no life in time, because the only life is Christ. The only life is Christ, and Christ is not in time. So as you walk around thinking, I have a wonderful life, remember, you have the belief in a life. But there is no life in time. There's no substance in the life in time, because spirit is the substance of divine life, and spirit is not in time. If you're determined to remove yourself from this situation in which you appear to be alive in time, but time will show that you're not alive in time, because time will drop you. If not today, if then tomorrow or the third day. Time will drop you out. You must come into life outside of time. And while you're here now, You invite the Christ within. And as soon as the Christ is within you, I don't mean in your body. The Christ is the everywhere self. The Christ is realized within you. When that Christ is realized within you, time won't drop you. You're time proof. Now let's see this picture. Jesus Christ is not in time, and therefore he's alive. No one can touch him. No one can crucify him. No one has to resurrect him. He can never die. We all know that's true. Paul realizes it's true. He says, I cannot be separated from the love of Jesus Christ. No matter how long I am here, I can never be separated. I am always in the love of Jesus Christ. So Paul is saying, I too have found the secret of being out of time. I have discovered that when I am out of time, I am one with Christ. The Christ of me and the Christ of Jesus Christ are the same one. There's no space between us. He is infinite, I am infinite. We share the one Christ. In fact, we are the one Christ. Then they are saying to you and to me, join us. That's why Paul is here teaching. That's why Christ is here teaching. Each is saying the same message. You have the opportunity to prevent yourself from being cut off by time. What you need to do is follow the teaching. Whatever the teaching is, do it. Whatever Christ says to you, do it. The teaching is foolproof and guaranteed. It doesn't matter what happens to you while you're doing it. Everything Jesus Christ says to you is to teach you that time is what buries humanity. Not being the Spirit of God, the light of God, you have a limited time life, which is not a divine life. But the Christ was on earth teaching that you have this divine life within you now. And like things in the human universe that you cultivate because they're there, you put a flower in the ground, a seed in the ground to get the flower. You know that you've got to do that. The seed doesn't grow unless you put it in the ground. You find the ingredients of your Christhood and you do it. That's all there is. You do it. You don't speculate about it. You don't talk about it. You've got to do what Christ says you must do. You've got to find the inner self. You've got to banish all belief in a human body. You've got to live with your soul, which has been stagnant through the centuries, completely disused. You've got to seek. You've got to strive. You've got to open every door that leads to the inner self. You've got to meditate frequently. And then you come above a passing mortal. The passing mortal is just another lifespan wasted. Let's take some specific steps. Let's abandon mortality in the knowledge that there cannot be a mortal me. I cannot be divine and mortal. Make that choice. You must make that choice. You cannot let it hang forever without a decision. And then when you make that decision, there cannot be a mortal and a divine me. I'm not both. It's ABC. So the mortal me has to go because I am divine. I want to be, I am. And if I don't want to be and am, not. All right, then be mortal, but you must be one or the other. You can't be both. Things don't just happen. You don't grow into mortality, into immortality. You are. So then, if you have to get off the dime and do something about it, the place to start is within yourself, knowing that I thought I was mortal, and I've been wrong. I cannot survive as a mortal being. The law of mortality is that you must die. That's all there is to it. And even if I don't understand what I'm going to do next, I know I'm not mortal. That's your beginning point. So if you've got a house full of family, and they're all mortal, and you know you're not, I don't know how you're going to live with them and keep it from them. Ultimately, they're going to say, Mom or Dad, something about you that's changed. What is it? I don't know what you're going to say. I know each one has that problem. I can't tell my kids what I am. But maybe as they get a little more intelligent, a little more aware, I want them to be what I am, and I'm going to divulge it. But at the moment, I can't. Maybe I'll tell them bedtime stories clothed in the truth somehow. Maybe I'll have a lot of examples for them. Maybe one day they'll say something to me and I'll say, oh my God, he knows. And that's wonderful. But I must make that decision anyway. That's the first step. You've got to see your immortality. When you're not mortal, you're immortal, right? And you're not mortal. 2,000 years is long enough. Now, what do we do when we're not mortal and we've made the decision that we're not? Where do we go? Well, I find that when it came to me that I was not mortal, I had to first have a lot of corroborating evidence. You get it in different ways, questions, experiences, books, inner self, talk to yourself, let yourself talk, listen, all the things that you do when you're floundering, trying to find some truth. You finally find it. There's a gleam inside, a fresh gleam, something you hadn't seen before. That's the beginning of this immortal life. It's there. I feel it. I almost see it. What is it? It's new. And you keep digging. You just keep struggling.